The Blitz, KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Christian's tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN, your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. But in reality, I'm having a real problem with the internet and getting texts. So your best bet is tweet the show.
Yeah.
If you missed anything the first hour, all available at podcastarena.com. Cody asking, one of Pong's spot will be a few minutes late. Can y'all save it? His partner is there. As long as your partner's here and signed up, you're fine. And if you didn't get a spot, come on out, because there are going to be people who can't make it. We've got some extra spots anyway. We got four tables here, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So come on out. We're at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. It's 2820 White Oak. Not too far from Fitzgerald's, which was kind of sad driving in and seeing Fitzgerald shuttered.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's – yeah, I think I told you this when our buddies from 12 Years Driven played there. I went and saw them, and it was – that was one of those places growing up as a wannabe rock guy.
You wanted to play there.
I always wanted to play there. It was that and Cardi's, which no longer exists. We did get to play Cardi's. We never got to play Fitzgerald's. So kind of sad seeing that, but right down the road. So you guys can come on out. It'll be fun.
Something will fill that building.
Yeah, and they'll reopen it somewhere else, but it's one of those things. And I'm not the most, as you've heard me talk about the Astrodome, I'm not one of those people who's always about, oh, preserve this and don't get rid of that. I mean, honestly. But that place has always been kind of special to me. So, but what do? Everything changes, man. Yeah, I am trying to get the text line going, but I can't, so apologize for that.
Your bad internet has worn off onto me now, so I'm struggling as well.
How is this my fault?
I don't know. My internet was working fine, and now it's not.
So I'm trying to pull up stories that I put on our little list to talk about, and I can't get them. So we're just going to have to wing it.
I'm trying to make my device.
Your phone?
Yeah.
Why is your phone called a device, just out of curiosity?
Because it says you connect to your device on my laptop.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't name my phone device, but that's what the computer refers to it as.
I'm wondering if on the next break I shouldn't just set up one of those personal hotspot things. We've done that before. I've got unlimited data. I don't think it'd be a problem.
Yeah.
And then we can just all hook up to that and it'll be good. Yeah, I would just say a good on-site producer would have already suggested that. You know, well, no disrespect to Voldemort.
Sadly, we don't have one.
Yeah, he's unfortunately, he's been corrupted. He used to be really, really good. But anyway, 713-780-ESPN, your number. Let's. John says he believes they're just renovating Fitzgerald. See, that's what I thought. But I heard they were moving it, so I don't know. I hope they're just renovating it. But right now, it's not open because they had stuff over the upper balcony. All right, man, from a betting perspective, what do you like today? Tell the people what you like in the NCAA tournament today.
I like Villanova -4. A lot of people trying to push me the other way on Miami. Miami's they're a good team.
I've been seeing a lot of that. I'm kind of with you.
But I like Villanova. I like Maryland a lot. That's the play that jumped out to me the most, Maryland +6.5.
I got him
in my bracket. I have Maryland winning the game.
Well, here's what I did, and you can tell me if I'm an idiot or not. I have Maryland +6. The number came down.
Okay,
but I have that for several units. And then I bet Maryland money line at plus 260 for a smaller amount.
I'm not opposed to either of those things.
Okay. So
I'm starting to lean A&M in that game. I just think they're better defensively. They are better in the front court. They're better pretty much everywhere except for Buddy Hield.
Right.
And it's easier to, it's easier said than done to take that guy away because people haven't been able to do it all year long. But, you know, I think that they've got a lot going for them in this game, and I think they kind of survived their scare. And sometimes when that happens, you get sort of a new life. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see them play very well tonight. And then I like Oregon a lot against Duke. I just think Duke doesn't have enough bodies.
I agree on all those. A&M, I think, is going to the Final Four. I think this team survived a game they weren't supposed to win. And we see this all the time, right, where a team does that and you look back and you say, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
Remember when UCLA won the title that year? That was the Tyus Edney one end to the other to beat Missouri, or they're not even out of that round.
Yeah.
They had no business winning that game. And A&M had no business winning the other night. And I think you're going to see them. Yeah, you know, that's the kind of thing where that gives you confidence. And that's a good basketball team. It's a well-coached basketball team. I like their chances a lot.
They're good. I don't know about Final Four good because I still like Oregon a lot. But
right.
But I think they're definitely live tonight.
All right, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776.
Can I tell you something way more important than
you
happened to me last night?
You can tell me anything you want, my man.
So you remember last year during the springtime, my kid, my then 7-year-old, was on a ridiculously good baseball team.
Yes.
And they were run-ruling everybody and, you know, walking around with their chest puffed out. Well, the tides have turned over the course of the last year, and the team they're on now is pretty bad. I'm just going to go ahead and go pretty bad.
That sucks.
They lost last night 19-4. It was not a good showing. 4 runs in the first inning, none after that. Let's discuss something else that happened, though, besides losing the game.
Oh, you were pitching, right?
I pitch for the team when I can make it up there, because it's coach pitch,
right.
And I'm probably the best equipped for the job of the available parties. So when I can get up there, I'm the preferred choice for pitcher. The kids hit off me in practice,
right?
You know, they're used to me pitching. Well, last night during the game, you know, when you pitch to the kids on your own team,
right?
You know,
right.
I'm not trying to get anybody out.
Right,
obviously,
exactly. I'm trying to put the ball where they can hit it.
I'm trying to, yeah. You know, blow up my ERA.
Exactly.
Well, what do you do if, let's say, there's a kid that's not that good on the team, and their parent approaches you between innings? You know, I'm trying to get my mind right between innings.
Right.
You never approach a pitcher between innings, right?
No, never.
You let him ice down his shoulder.
Even a guy who's...
He looks at his notes.
Even a batting practice pitcher, you never do that, right?
It's respect.
Yeah.
You don't. What you don't do is come out of the stands to the dugout door and tell the pitcher how he should be pitching to your kid.
Oh, not one of those parents.
Oh, yeah.
God, I hate those
parents.
Oh,
yeah.
What did you say? Throw underhand to him?
Nope. He was telling me to bring the heat a little bit.
Because your kid can't hit a 30-mile-an-hour fastball. Let's throw it 50.
So,
yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
One of the problems is this is a this guy's kid, and there's one other kid on the team that are extraordinarily short, and I have a hard time pitching to the shorter kids. I'm not going to lie.
Well, that's,
the strike zone is smaller.
If you're 3 foot tall, if you're an Altuve, there's not much you can do.
It's very difficult. But I feel like I do a pretty decent job, and I kind of have to throw it a little bit harder to those kids anyway so it'll stay on a line,
right,
and you know, go through the strike zone for them.
And let's be honest, that's to be fair to you, that's not an easy thing to do, to do coach pitch?
No.
It really isn't. I've had to do that. It's not easy. It really isn't. Everybody thinks it is. Oh, you're just going to throw the ball where they can hit it. But then you can't – if we were that good where you could control exactly where you wanted a pitch to go at what speed, we'd be pitching for the Astros. Come on.
Right.
So that's not an easy thing to do.
So, of course, I get chewed out, and I'm explained to when we go and practice, he hits it every time. So he's got a kid who, in practice, when I'm not there, hits it every time.
So it's your fault.
So it's my fault. Of course, the next time he comes up, I word in there a little bit. Kid strikes out again. And not only that, but they start to tell him hey, you don't got to swing at every pitch thing. So he's like diving out of the box when the pitch is right over the plate. And then when it's in the dirt, he's putting at it. So it's a...
All right.
My frustration was overflowing last night.
I could see that. Here's what I would do, because I'm kind of a dickweed. If the parents had bitched at me, I'm throwing curveballs at that kid. I'm making him bail out. It's nothing personal, kid. It's your parents. Or, you know what I'm doing? I'm going Nuke LaLouche, and instead of hitting the mascot, I'm hitting the parents.
Separate parent approaches me. And listen, my involvement from a coaching standpoint, I coach my kid.
Right.
Like I'll tell my kid how to do things. And if I'm a base coach or whatever, you know, if something like that, I'll coach. Or when they're in the field, I'll stand on the sideline and kind of move them around. I don't fill out lineup cards. I don't do anything like that.
Let me ask you a question, though. If a parent asked you, hey, would you help my kid with something, you'd do it, right?
Of course.
Yeah, that's
fine.
But
what I don't do is tell the actual coach where kids should play. So
okay, that,
when a parent approaches me.
I hate that parent, too. That's the other one I hate. You've got two of the parents I hate the most. Congratulations.
When a parent approaches me and says, why is my kid playing here, and I have no – that's none of my business. I'm Kermit the Frog with T. None of my business.
Right.
But they're like, I really think you should give my son some time in the infield. And by the way,
let me tell you. Whoever says that, their kid can't catch a pop fly in the outfield. Why are you going to put him in the infield?
Truthful story about what's going on with this team. The team probably has three kids that should be playing in the infield.
Yeah.
And about eight kids that should be playing right field. It's a really unfortunate situation. But my kid he's been playing shortstop all season long, and because he's one of the two kids that can throw it from the third base side of the field to first base.
Okay, that's a good skill to have.
It is. It's
and
a good skill.
Should play shortstop.
And a lot of these kids haven't been playing as long as mine have.
Right.
But the problem then became, those two kids that could throw the ball across the field also happen to be the two kids who can catch the ball when it's thrown to them from across the field. So my kid, he got moved to first base last night during the game because the first baseman could not catch anything, and it was a total disaster. And so the new kid that came in to play shortstop, which is probably is the guy that's probably, like I said, there's three of them.
Right.
He's the third one. It wasn't a bad call.
But it's kind of a drop-off from one and two.
But then it was when they moved your kid to first base, why didn't my kid come in to play shortstop? And I wanted to say, well, because your kid's not good at baseball. But I just said, you know what, man, I don't know. That's a question for the coach. And my question to you is, but John's playing me out, so maybe I don't have time to ask the question. But
we'll answer it when we come back, though, because I kind of
is it better for me just to say, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be involved with this, and just let the coaches coach?
No, you know what? When we come back, I'll tell you why that's a bad idea.
Okay,
how's that?
All right.
It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Don't sweat the technique.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Christian's Tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Christian's Tailgate. The Blitzers are starting to trickle in, which is cool. Beer pong tournament coming up. They're setting it up right now. So if you won a spot, you got about 11 minutes to get your butts out here and get signed up. If you didn't win a spot, you need to get out here and get signed up so you can play. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're very curious as to how this is going to go. And I just want to take a second to thank everybody out here at Christian's.
You're welcome.
Well, not you. I mean,
oh, the people who work
from
here?
Christian's for having us out here. I mean, well, let's be honest. They had Barry Warner out here today.
But, are you serious?
Yeah. But
what kind of clown show is that?
Well, we know what kind of clown show that is. We've heard that show. But that's
the Mighty Gwynn was here? The Mighty himself was here?
I love Donald Trump! Yeah, he was out here. So they had us out here all day. And I love all the Christian's locations. As you know, I live downtown, so I go to the one downtown and one midtown. But I love coming out here because this one has these frozen Jack and Cokes. But they're all great, man, and I really appreciate them having us out here. It's a terrific place. If you haven't been to Christian's, it's a cool place to bring your kids. If you got a Little League game or something, you can bring them, and you can get your drink on, and the kids can hang out. There's a game room over there. It's a very cool place. So, but I want to answer your question because you asked, should you be not get involved at all? And I'm going to tell you why you should be involved.
Okay.
Because parents in general that have their kids playing baseball, even at your kid's age, they're all trying to live their life through their kids, which I hate. And it was kind of funny. A couple weeks ago, it would have been my dad's birthday, and he passed away in 97. And my brother posted some pictures of him, and I reposted it. And all these people that he coached made these wonderful comments about what a great coach he was, because he was a fantastic baseball coach and a football coach.
I'm not a great coach by any means.
But it wasn't because he was great and he understood X's and O's. It was because he understood people and he dealt with parents really well. And kids who couldn't play got a chance to play, but he worked with the ones that were the worst. He didn't work with the good players. He worked with the ones that couldn't play to try to make them better. And there were so many parents that are trying to live their life through their kids. Listen, my son, it killed me that he didn't want to play football. This kid's a beast, man. He's 17 years old. He's 6'2", and 210 with not an ounce of fat on him, and would have been a fantastic football player. And it killed me that he didn't want to play football. But I didn't push him.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted him to play, and I told him I wanted him to play, and no, he wanted to play chess. Okay, that's cool. But there are so many parents that want their kids to do this because they couldn't. And it sounds like you've got a lot of parents like that. And the truth is, good coaches are just good people who want the best for kids. And that's why you can't eject. Because,
well, I think that I'm helping a lot of the kids.
I think you are.
I mean, there's a girl on this team.
Yeah.
And this girl couldn't swing a bat the first day that she got there. She got two hits last night.
Well, see.
So, and she's one of these kids who gets real excited and she comes up to, thanks, Coach AJ, and, you know, that kind of stuff makes me feel good.
Yeah.
But the other stuff, oh, such a pain.
No, it is. But see,
and I could easily go there and sit in the stands.
And that's
and then coach my own kid after the game. I mean, that would be so much easier.
And when my son played soccer, which I don't know a lot about soccer, but I know enough about the game to help kids, he was awful at it. So was my daughter. I tried to help them. I did everything I could to teach them to be better. But instead of getting involved and trying to convince some of these other parents to quit pushing their kids who were awful at it,
yeah,
I just stayed the hell out of the way. And that was a mistake because some of those kids actually could have learned and gotten better if somebody had taken some time with them who wasn't berating them and expecting them to be friggin' Cristiano Ronaldo.
All right.
Instead of, you know, 9-year-old white kid who can barely do anything. And that's why you can't eject from it, is because there are kids out there that can get better at it, and there are parents out there who aren't terrible parents, but you've got to kind of offset the ones that are terrible parents and that are trying to live through their kids. And if you're one of those guys, and hey, I know some of you, okay? I see you, and you've come up and told me you're that guy. Stop doing it. It's seriously, you didn't get where you wanted to as an athlete. Neither did I. I mean, growing up, I wanted to be quarterback for the Cowboys. Well, that didn't work out. But I also had a realistic father who told me what my limits were and that I would have been better as a receiver than a quarterback or move me to safety because it was the right thing to do because I had a chance to actually – and I had a chance to go play at what is now an FCS school and had a scholarship offer, even with a bad injury, because I moved to another position. I wanted to be a quarterback. That was my thing. But I also had a realistic father about it. And I know things have changed where you guys play year-round baseball and all this stuff, but that's why somebody like you has to be involved, is because there has to be somebody who's realistic, who will help kids and get them to be the best they can be without telling them they're going to play quarterback for the Cowboys.
Yeah, the problem is I don't tell the kids anything like that.
Well, I know you don't, but their parents are telling them that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's parents out there telling these kids, oh, you're the next Carlos Correa. No, dude, you can't hit a ball, all right, with a guy throwing underhand to you from the mound who's your coach trying to get you to hit the ball. You can't hit a ball.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's what's wrong with this. And I, you know, I don't mean to be a dickweed about it. I just think there's so many parents that's like, oh, I want my kid to do this. I want my kid to do this. I want my kid to be great because I wasn't. Man, get away from that, please. And that's why people like you have to be involved. And I wasn't, and I regret that. But you need to be involved.
Yeah.
So, Batman's ugly brother says soccer parents are brutal. Dude, it's not just soccer parents. If you go around any little league team anywhere, especially for parents, and hey, man, I admire you if you spend a lot of money for your kids to play select baseball and stuff, mm-hmm. but they play all year long, and then they go play Little League, and they're not as good as you think in the Little League, and it's the coach's fault. Maybe you're spending money on the wrong things. Just saying.
Well, Jake got asked to play select, and I said no. Because
good
I think
on
that
you.
There's – I mean, and he does play year-round, but I also don't think that he's good enough yet to where, you know, he should be – traveling around and playing baseball. So I had him, I put him in instructional league over the fall, and he hated it because, I mean, that team was a disaster. Like, there were kids who'd never put on a glove before, were trying to throw the ball with their gloves, didn't know if they hit left or right-handed. I mean, it was a train wreck. But I thought that would be the best thing for him over the fall instead of, you know, being on some sort of stud team. So,
well, and you're right. It's funny because growing up, because of what my dad did for a living, when I went to baseball camps, it was Don Wilson teaching me how to pitch.
Yeah.
It was Dan Pastorini teaching me how to play quarterback. And I had the best that you could possibly have.
You know who my quarterback coach was?
Who?
Sean Salisbury.
Now, Sean's my coach now.
Oh.
But
no, that's what I meant, like last week.
No, and actually, I have to say, if you got a kid who can really play, and this isn't a plug for a guy on our station, but Sean knows more about teaching kids how to play quarterback than anybody I've ever been around. And it's so funny because I watched a whole bunch of tape of Brock Osweiler, and then I went into Sean and said, hey, this is what I see. Am I right? And he tells me, oh, yeah, you're right about this, 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 and this, and I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to, you know, what we talked about was, you know, he didn't want the whole world to know. But having somebody like that tell you, yeah, you saw exactly what you should have seen, is a big deal. But the thing is, even with that kind of coaching, you still have to have the skill level. And, yes, I had the best coaches growing up. I wasn't good enough. And did my parents keep trying to push me to do something I wasn't good at? No. He said... And my dad was the first one to tell me, son, you're a good football player.
But look at you now. You're not good at this, but you keep doing it.
I'm okay at
you
this.
You stick with
I'm okay at this. I don't suck at this. That's the thing. I'm you know what? No matter what happens, I'm better than Rich Lord.
Well, that's true.
I got that. So
congratulations.
There's that.
I wish they gave you a trophy for that. Better at radio than Rich Lord.
Well, but that would be everybody in the city, right?
I know, but, I mean, it seems like something they could do.
It'd be nice.
All right, guys. Listen, we're coming up on that time. Saturday, March 26th, it is going down. We're now 2 days away from Andre Ward v. Sullivan Barrera, live on HBO. The only male American boxer to claim Olympic gold since 1996, Andre Ward, joined Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Oscar De La Hoya as American boxing champions in the Olympics. He's racked up 28 professional wins. He's got a huge following. He's the Ring Magazine WBA Super Middleweight World Champion. Number two on the pound-for-pound list, the 2011 Fighter of the Year. I mean, the accolades are endless for Andre Ward. And Sullivan Barrera is a savage and a headhunter, and he is looking to end the train for Andre Ward. Since he defected from Cuba, where he was a member of the country's national team, he made his pro debut 2009, got a first-round knockout. He'd knock out the first five opponents he faced in his pro career in either the first or second round. He's trained by Abel Sanchez, who you may know for his work with Gennady Golovkin, who happens to be my favorite boxer, which means that he's also looking to go and score a knockout when he fights. This is a great matchup, guys. It's can't miss. HBO's World Championship Boxing, returning March 26th with an action-packed doubleheader. Pound-for-pound star Andre Ward returning to the ring against unbeaten Sullivan Barrera. Ward, he's exceeded at every level. A seven-year reign as the super middleweight champion. He's ready to do the same in the light heavyweight division by taking on Barrera, one of the toughest challengers in the weight class. Plus, there's rising prospect Joseph Diaz Jr. putting his undefeated record on the line against Jason Velez. Don't miss Ward v. Barrera live this Saturday, March 26th, 8:45 Central Time, only on HBO.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Christian's tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back off The Blitz. Jason says, shots at Rich Lord. I love you bleepers more than y'all know. And Matt says, don't forget being better than Charlie Polillo is something, too.
It's true.
Listen, man, Charlie does his thing. It's very, very simple. It's like you call in, you tell him what you want to talk about, and that's what he talks about. And he goes, no one cares about college basketball. I love college basketball.
Absolutely not, says, thinking about a trip to the Nugget tomorrow. How's the cash game over there?
Guys, I got to tell you, the cash game is soft, all right? And I've played with a lot of you guys over there, and it's kind of funny because did it work? No. Yeah, you can't make it work. He was trying to make my phone work for the personal hotspot thing. But here's what you do. If you go play the cash game over there, just be patient. Wait for your hands. Wait for your opportunities. You will clean up. It is soft. There's a lot of people that will bet $100 on top pair. And there's always three or four at the table that are just action junkies, and that's all they care about. So if you just go over there and play smart poker and wait for your hands, you'll clean up. And the last five times I have been there, I have walked out of there with at least twice what I walked in with.
I will say this about tomorrow. If you're able to stay sober, there are legacy fights tomorrow at the Golden Nugget.
Oh, okay.
Which means there's going to be a crop of people in there who are rowdy and celebrating and spending money. And
after the fights.
Those post-fight. That card room post-fights
could
be a place to do some damage.
Well, and it's...
But you also have to understand what kind of poker you're going to be playing. And
right.
Playing poker with drunk, loose people.
And you're going to have to gamble a little, but just keep in mind, the best thing to do, and I don't want to get too technical, just you get small pairs, play the flop for a set, and then reel them in. Or you get, you know, you got ace, nine of clubs, play the flop, see if you get two clubs. You will get paid off if you hit. So just be patient. Wait for hands. If you're willing to play two hands an hour, I promise you you'll walk out of there with money. And nobody wants to do that. But what you can't do is get caught up in the nutso crap that starts happening where, you know, it's $50 pre-flop every hand.
Yeah.
And only if you have a hand that's good enough to play $50 preflop, then you have a hand good enough to shove all in. And just keep that in mind. And that's the best advice I can give you. But if you do that, you are going to walk out of there with some money.
A millionaire.
Well, you're not going to be a millionaire. I mean, I think.
Okay. All right. That may be overboard. All
no,
right.
I usually buy in for 200, and I have not walked out of there with less than five the last five times I've been over there.
That's not bad.
And there was one time, and it was really cool. I was playing with Brandon, who's a blitzer who lives over there, and Jerome, and we're all sitting next to each other. And I played maybe four hands in 3 hours and won $525.
Because that's not bad.
because I just stayed the hell out of stuff, and so did those guys.
You got to be pretty patient, though. I mean, that's...
no, and Jerome's great. Jerome's a terrific cash game player, by the way. But he was being real. We all three of us were being patient, and it was kind of funny because we're all in one hand together, and I'm kind of like, at that point, the fact that all three of us have been sitting there and haven't played a hand, I had like pocket nines. I had a decent enough hand, but I'm like, okay, if Jerome and Brandon are in the hand, I'm probably not good until a nine came on the flop. And then I was like, okay, if they got that beat, they got that beat.
Yeah.
But just it's a great place to play, but it's very much like Le Bourget, very soft.
All right. Well,
there's a lot of people here getting ready for beer pong. So this is going to be interesting.
I'm looking forward to crowning our champion.
Yeah, I think there's...
I must know who the champion is.
There's a lot of people here who look like they've played beer pong before.
Yep. That chick.
She's nodding no and he's nodding yes.
That chick is a ringer. She's like, oh,
absolutely.
No, I've never played.
Oh, never played, yeah.
I don't know.
He's like, I got this. And she's like, no, I don't even know what beer pong is. Yeah, no, they got this. But, okay, so I'm going to make them the favorites. And see, like, these two guys over here who look really cool, I tried to bet them, and they wouldn't bet me against Disco Biscuit and her friend. I asked for 4-1. They wouldn't give me 4-1.
Disco Biscuit, I feel like she's good at drinking-related games.
I'm pretty sure she can drink a lot and do okay. See, they didn't take my bet, but her friend has a beer pong table in her house.
There's a team in here both wearing Aggie shirts.
Yeah. So they're going to get way behind.
Right.
And then at the last minute, boom, yes. Yeah.
Furious comeback. Doesn't beer pong seem like such a College Station thing?
Yeah, we'll see. And Disco Biscuit went to San Marcos, so that's a San Marcos.
Oh, definitely that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's very much a Texas State thing. Couple things. Matt asks, how much are you learning about players at those cash tables waiting for hands? That's something I always do. And I've always said this, my best skill as a poker player, and I think AJ can vouch for this, I can tell you in 5 minutes who can play and who can't, who's going to be aggressive.
We have a discussion during every poker tournament we play in Vegas. We get to the break, and we discuss, because typically after the break is when they combine tables.
Right.
And we discuss who that we've been playing with is decent and who are the people that we're going to take money from.
Right.
So.
And we're both very good at that. And that's something that comes with just experience and being around a table a lot. But the truth is, I can sit there in 5 minutes and tell you who can play and who can't. AJ's really good at that too. So what you do is while you're sitting there waiting for your hands, watch how the hand plays out. Watch who's being aggressive. And watch it if it goes to showdown. And it doesn't mean the guy's going to play the same way every time. But if somebody plays the same way twice in 20 minutes, guess what?
That's a trend.
That's what they're going to do. They're going to be the same kind of player. So while you're sitting there, learn from what they're doing. And that's honestly, most tournaments, I won't play the first 5 minutes. I just want to see who's being aggressive, who's not, who's talking, who's not. I mean, that's 80% of it. You figure that out, then the rest of the game gets easy.
And sometimes playing the first 5 minutes can be disastrous, as I've lost a tournament with Pocket Kings dealt to me on the very first hand of the tournament.
I don't want Kings early. I want Kings late.
Yeah.
And what I want early is small suited connectors. I want 3-5 of clubs. I want small pocket pairs, things that are easy for me to get away from. And that's where I make all my money. A couple other things. Ryan asked, my dad was like that, always psyched me out when I was batting, got about 10 hits in 3 years, was a great fielder, though. See, my dad was a...
If you got 10 hits in 3 years, you wouldn't be in the field. You'd be on the bench on my team.
Lamont says, been out of the mix because y'all went college tourney. Well, we didn't go that college tourney. We've been talking a lot of little people, strippers and stuff. And plus, I've been dealing with Canadians. Oh, geez. Oh, no way. Don't deal with Canadians. Brother Bear says, need blitzer parent help. 9-year-old stepson refuses to ride his bike without training wheels. I just want to kick him.
Oh, hell no.
That's hard. It took me forever to teach my kids to ride a bike. You basically just have to run behind them holding the bike, which is no fun.
You can knock them down once or twice. Let them know.
Well,
hey, man.
But it's not like swimming where you can just throw them in.
It's not the worst thing. You get knocked down, you get back up, son.
Okay, so we're supposed to have a gym of the day when we come back, but I have no internet access, so...
I'll take care of this.
You got one?
I'll take care of this.
Awesome.
Don't you worry.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. There's at least 5 Aggies in here playing. Is this popular in College Station, I'm guessing? Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Christian's tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and we have a full bracket for our beer pong tournament.
So what I've just discovered,
yes,
is the way this tournament is being played is not by traditional beer pong rules.
Oh,
this
really?
Is this is like a cleaned up version of beer pong.
It's water.
There's water in the actual cups,
but
you have to drink your own beer. But part of the charm of beer pong as a game is that it's disgusting, and sometimes you have to pick up the gross ball off the floor and bounce it into some dude's cup, and they have to drink that gross floor ball water.
Yeah,
otherwise,
it's like having sex with a fat person. Sometimes it's really disgusting.
There needs to be a punishment for losing, and that is drinking disgusting, filthy beer. I feel like we're taking away a vital, vital part of this game.
Well, unfortunately,
I want to say they're like sterilized rules. It's just not the same.
Unfortunately, we have no control over that. So
it ain't my problem.
We're just here.
I'm just telling them. This isn't beer pong. John says
this is the college version.
Well, what's the regular version then? A hobo version? Like, is that?
Now, the regular version is the true degenerate version.
The college
beer
version is the dirty version.
Yeah, the college version is the dirty version.
Okay. Not a college version. That's this version.
What college student has enough cups that they can fill them with beer and still have a separate cup for themselves? No.
So, John, I can't get internet, so I can't read the liners I'm supposed to read. So can you read the liner I was supposed to do coming out of that break?
Okay. Kick off your weekend right. Have lunch with ESPN
97.5
on Friday.
John
and Raheel, followed by Unfiltered, will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. From Nick's Place.
No.
Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge.
No. John, you're going to have to do that over again, mostly because I talked over you the entire time. But you kind of messed that up from the start. When you do Fred's reads, you have to do it in a Fred voice.
I can't do a Fred's voice.
You can do your best, Fred voice.
Do your best, yeah. Just try.
Okay, hold on.
Kind of do it in Fred's voice like the way Fred opens the show. Because, you know, like at the beginning of the show, Fred kind of sounds like a radio guy?
A little bit.
Do it like that.
Okay, hold on. Kick off your weekend right. How's that?
That's good. Keep going.
Yeah, you're doing well.
Have lunch with ESPN 97.5 each Friday. John and Raheel, followed by Unfiltered, broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done, Jong. Nicely done.
Attaboy. I told you you could do it, Jong.
Yeah.
Never say you can't do it.
I'll just follow that up with go to Nick's Place tomorrow and see the shows on the station that aren't very good. How's that?
That was all right. I think Jong's
John did better. No, John did better. There's no question.
Okay.
You know I love Nick's place. You know I love Nick. So you guys go by there and hang out. Let's do a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. Hey now.
It's on you to have the gym of the day,
because... Okay, have interwebs.
Right.
A man will appear in court after he scared some customers at a Dollar General store with
Wait. A dollar store, or it costs you a dollar to bang a general?
No. This is a store called the Dollar General. I believe it's a dollar store.
So it's not...
And they sell general... Household goods.
They don't give you sex with a general for a dollar.
No.
Okay, just checking.
No. This is not that kind of a store.
I'm just asking. I
mean, he walked into the store with what appeared to be a handgun in his waistband. Unwise decision, you might think.
Yeah, that's not wise, guys.
Although in Texas, you can do that. You're allowed to. I mean,
right.
Not wise to just like stick it in your waistband and walk around. You might want to actually get a proper holster.
Yeah, I carry mine around in a holster.
Or you could just not open carry because you look ridiculous.
But, I know I look ridiculous, but I don't care.
Okay.
I'm old, and I'm just telling people, don't mess with me or I will shoot you.
Okay.
Or don't tailgate me or I will shoot you. That's the other thing.
Well, he didn't have a real gun. What he had is what we refer to as a pellet gun.
Okay.
Guns.
Those can be fun, by the way. You can shoot squirrels with those.
Who are you telling?
Sorry.
This wasn't like my pellet gun. I had...
You got a high-powered one.
Yeah, my pellet gun is a war machine. This is like this is a wussy handgun.
This is a bitch gun. It's a bitch gun. Okay, it's fine.
Well, he left and returned to a car that police pulled over a little bit down the road. The officer found an older woman, apparently Anthony Betson, who is the suspect, his grandmother, and he was driving, laying down, or she was driving, and he was laying down in a fully reclined passenger seat.
Okay.
So trying to be sneaky, like.
So he's laying down. Is she servicing him?
No, she's just driving him. It's his grandmother, sir.
Wow.
Have some respect.
People get weird. I'm not. I mean, whatever you're into is fine.
The gun was recovered, along with a syringe containing meth in his pocket.
Okay.
And an unspecified amount of heroin in the car. Can you imagine if you're riding around with your grandma, the cops pull you over, and they find meth, heroin, and a gun?
And your grandma.
My grandma would be so pissed at me when that happened. A child waiting in the mother's car outside the store while she shopped saw Betson approach, put the gun in his waistband, and pull a sweatshirt hood over his head before he entered the store. You can imagine what people thought, he said. He was booked into jail on charges of possessing a controlled substance and drug equipment and disorderly conduct. Formal charges are expected in his bonding court appearance. And that, Fred, is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
John, I know you said something, but I didn't hear it.
I think he said mattress.
Oh, okay. And you know what? Here's another one I can do without.
Is that correct, John?
All right, because here's the
boom.
Thing. I don't have my copy in front of me. I don't need my copy in front of me to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. Just like I don't need to tell you about the sponsors I care most about, because Texas Mattress Makers is fantastic. You go over there, and if you tell them you're a blitzer, they're going to take care of you. In fact, the blitzer tweeted me yesterday that he went in and had a great experience. Because here's what happens at Texas Mattress Makers. They make the mattresses right there. They tell you how they make them. They walk you through everything. They find the one that's going to give you the best sleep, and then they sell it directly to you. You could go to a retail store and pay a whole bunch of money. Why would you do that? Yuval and the guys over there, all they care about is how you sleep. And all they care about is making great mattresses. And guess what? During Easter, they have this fantastic thing going on right now where they have a little game. You're already going to save 50% guaranteed over what you would make off of what you would save if you went to a retail place. But beyond that, how about this? During Easter, you're going to play a little game. They've got an Easter egg hunt anywhere from 5 to 50% off factory prices. So you get that 50% off factory price, you're saving 100% over what you would save at a retail store. Why would you go anywhere else? And what they're going to do is find out. They're not going to ask you how much you want to spend. They're going to ask you, how do you sleep? And they're going to have you check out these beds and find the one that works best for you. And they're going to put you on the best bed. That simple. Make it an Easter to remember. Visit them at 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Tell them I sent you. I promise you they're going to take care of you. Great people over there. I love those guys. And I'm so happy to be able to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers, not just because I have a great bed from there, but because I believe in them. And go check them out. You will believe in them too. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed. Tell them I sent you. Texas Mattress Makers, texasmattressmakers.com.